You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Welcome into the next segment of ABQ Connect. Today, we return to our weekly Heritage Foundation update. Genevieve Wood, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Good to be back with you, Steve.
And, you know, I say that often, and I was thinking this morning, you know, it's almost flippantly saying, you know what? I can't tell you how much I appreciate. We have a couple of regular features on Friday that I really look forward to. Our Heritage Foundation update, which really has good information for our listeners, especially, I think, somewhat on the topic we're going to cover today. But Genevieve, you and the staff at Heritage do such thorough work to provide information that I really believe there's a lot of listeners that if you haven't gone to heritage.org or to dailysignal.com, do yourself a favor. Take 5 minutes today and just kind of surf a little bit there and see all the great work that's being done. So really, from the bottom of our heart, Genevieve, thanks for your time and for Heritage's investment.
Well, thank you. And by the way, your listeners should know that was not a paid advertisement, as much as it might have sounded like one. No, seriously, thank you. But greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, it can be very heard as very flippant, but it is appreciated. Now, today, we're going to land on the topic that actually kind of made more headlines maybe last week. But what's going on with NPR? And actually where the conversation is going to head is just encouraging the listener to be a little more media savvy with what they're consuming as they get out in cyber and TV land.
No, that's right. Well, I mean, and especially with something like National Public Radio, when I think, you know, PBS, Public Broadcasting System, which many people think, well, it's, you know, that's public, that must be okay stuff because it represents, you know, taxpayers pay for a good chunk of that. So it must be okay stuff and fairly represented, not conservative, not liberal. But NPR, without a doubt, is extremely liberal. And it's always been in that camp, if you will say, but it's been trending more and more in recent years. And but now it's on a matter of just like that's kind of who we hire. And you might notice a little bit of a bias in some of our stories. It is just outright in your face. And this recent controversy with the new CEO, new as of this past January, where basically, you know, she's come out and said she's of the belief that there is no, you know, everybody's got their truth. There's no ultimate truth. It's all relative. And that's just one of many interesting things that she said. But what's most interesting, I think, about a statement like that is at the same time she says there is no truth, just your truth. There's so many truths that she doesn't want to allow on their airwaves, especially if it comes from like white males who might be of a conservative bent. So when you're listening to NPR, you have to realize they are really, they're very careful about who they allow on their airwaves. And usually it's only one point of view.
Yeah. And one of the things I believe I read in the article, speaking of, you know, what they allow on was wasn't she a part of, you know, really having control, and that's a big word that showed up in the article too, control. Whether it was things dealing with COVID and vaccinations, mm-hmm. yep. or election results.
That's when she came to NPR, I believe, from Wikipedia, and she was readily upfront about the fact she, you know, teamed up with the federal government to alter and you know, edit what was said about COVID and vaccines on the Wikipedia pages. I mean, you know, that's not First Amendment. That's going in and saying, we'll let you know what you need to know. We'll decide what part of the news you need to understand and what part we think is not good. So that's not First Amendment, which is supposedly what journalists, and I mean, they're not supposed to be just commentary. This is a news organization, not just an opinion organization, but she's decided she'll determine and they'll determine what news you get to read and what news you don't get to see. And Steve, as I think you and I have discussed before, that's one of the biggest forms of bias. It's not always that we just have one voice on the airwave. It's what stories we decide to tell and what stories we decide not to cover. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to work in bias. But when you're working, teaming up with the government, that is hardly what the First Amendment was put into the American Constitution for. That sounds like the kind of stuff you get in Russia and other parts of the world where you have state media operations that are basically tied to the government, and you don't have freedom of the press. She claims that's not what they're doing, but it's a pretty close thing.
Yeah, you know, when I think back to the last few years, and honestly, I'm not going to be able to state a source, but as I recall, you know, looking back over the last decade or so, there's been somewhat of an attack on conservative media, specifically maybe radio, and the truths really pan out. I mean, the left doesn't want conservative thought out there, but also the truth is when attempts have been made to start left-leaning radio, it just doesn't get the support it needs without getting money from the government to succeed. And I want to say that that side is, you know, I don't know, jealous probably isn't the word, but you know, the truth is conservative radio does have enough support and that comes with listenership, you know, in radio or media, means you can go to potential sponsors and say, we got a lot of people listening. So they're going to spend money sponsoring those stations. So, and conservative radio has been successful. And it's just interesting because it almost seems, you know, maybe it's changing. The left seems to be growing in population, but it was a much small, I don't know, it just seems like for the percentage of population of people who really hold to those values, they're much more vocal about what they believe, I think, than maybe people that lean more right.
Well, I mean, I think back to, I think you're referring to back in the day, Al Franken, member of Saturday Night Live fame, who then became a senator from Minnesota. He was one of the folks who tried to start a liberal kind of answer to Rush Limbaugh. They wanted to have their own network and have liberal hosts. And you're right, they could just never, I think they had a few shows, but it just never really got off the ground, never took off. But I think part of that is, you know, if you're on the left, you've already got NPR. Why do you need to start a new radio network?
Yeah.
You know, you've already got the New York Times. You've already got MSNBC, you know, all these outlets. So I think whereas conservatives have felt for many years that all the big outlets that were public that you didn't have to pay for didn't represent them. I mean, so, you know, if you think about it, so yes, you have Fox TV now, and yes, you have conservative talk radio now, but those were outlets that had to be developed. You weren't finding that on the regular networks. You weren't finding it on CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN. So I think there was an audience here that didn't feel like it was being served. I think many people on the left kind of didn't feel there was a hole. They already had all this stuff. So I think that's some of it. But the reality is, you know, many people will say, well, I've heard that, you know, some tax dollars go to National Public Radio, but not that many. Well, you have to kind of look closer than just NPR. You look at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which gives money to NPR, which the national or national radio station, but then all the grants that it gives to NPR affiliates around the country. So there, you know, the NPR affiliate in Boston or Dallas, or maybe there's one in Albuquerque. Those affiliates around the country often produce programming. There's one here in Washington that then gets distributed nationally.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that they support at those local quote unquote stations, whether it's TV shows, whether it's podcasts, radio, I mean, your listeners would be shocked to go look at some of the stuff that their tax dollars are supporting. And the reality is, if there is a hunger for that information, then people will pay for it.
Yeah.
And it will, you'll be able to get the advertisers and grants that you need. You don't need to be able to get, you shouldn't be getting that from taxpayer funding when you've got such a skew in terms of the opinions and news that you provide.
And I want to try to connect scripture to this. You know, as I go through this, I miss the days. You know, just this last week, I was watching something with family, and on more than one occasion, faces like David Brinkley or Walter Cronkite, or, you know, and even that, you know, you could argue that they were left leaning then, but it was much more news delivery and less commentary, which basically is what you and I are doing right now, is commentary.
That's right.
Let me connect Isaiah 1:18, and it says there, "Come, let us reason together." And I looked into it a little bit this morning, and one commentary on it said that, you know, in context, you know, before and after that, that which is the very first part of that verse, it is the people looking and viewing God as an angry judge, unapproachable, and God's word in that Isaiah 1:18 is, "Come, let us reason together." Now, the truth is, He is the ultimate judge. However, He's full of grace and mercy, and the truth is found in, you know, these. There is opportunity to approach a God who ultimately is judge. But He is loving, and He does want the best for us. And just that whole spirit of, "Come, let us reason together." And on occasion, I will see both left and right in a news setting, or, you know, commentary setting, where it's thought provoking and it's not gaslighting. And the other thing, and I think this may surprise some of the listeners, I haven't done this so much lately, but when I had satellite radio, I would regularly flip through things like MSNBC, CNN, Sky News, Fox News, Newsmax, The Young Turks, NPR, and do my best to consume what was there, knowing that there is all kinds of spin, and do my best to find the truth in there. Of course, holding it up, and I look at it through a Christian worldview lens, because I cling to, trust, and rely on the Bible as the inerrant word of God, transcending time and eternity. So that's my filter. But I would encourage the listener to, you know, not necessarily avoid every, you know, every different spin on stories, but to, you know, be diverse in what they're consuming. And then the other thing, when it relates to this story in NPR that I appreciated in it, the author of the story, I think, said, you know, the solution isn't to fire her. The solution might be, however, to reconsider the funding that we mentioned. And that goes back to our involvement as people who go to the voting booth and select who's representing us and where this, you know, different money's going.
No, that's right. And you know, this, I think it was this past week that Congressman Jim Banks, who is a Republican from Indiana, has introduced legislation calling for the defunding of NPR. And it won't be the first time, that's not the first time that's ever happened, but it's gaining momentum in that sense. But, you know, Steve, I used to actually be a panelist on an NPR program in Los Angeles for a number of years. And, you know, it was a program that had a diversity of opinions. I was one, I think, the sole conservative voice, but at least they had one. But it was an opinion show. But I appreciated, and I've been on PBS programs as a regular contributor from time to time. But it definitely has skewed further left. It's definitely, and the thing that people have to understand, I think you're right, you shouldn't just listen to one news outlet, even if it's, if you're a conservative and it's conservative, because, you know, it's going to have its point of view. It's best to hear a variety. It's also good to know what other people are listening to, that so when you're in conversations with them about what's happening in the country, what's happening in the world, you understand maybe where they're coming from better if you understand what news they've been, you know, they've been watching and listening to. But also, I mean, things with NPR and PBS, you know, these things were often started because there were parts of the public, like on television, if you didn't have cable, then you didn't have access to all the, you know, things that many other people were able to pay for. And PBS was supposed to be something that everybody, you know, was for the public could have. And so that's also where I think it's dangerous, is when you're trying to, you're producing, you know, there are some people that maybe that's the only news source they have access to. That's increasingly not true today, but for many years it was. it's very unfair to them than to only give one side of something, especially when you're supposedly doing it for the public square and the public good. So again, I think it's another example of our, what you would call institutions, our elite institutions, whether it's colleges and universities, even K through 12 schools, what museums put on display and don't, what our public radio and public television stations put forward. These companies and institutions have by and large been captured, not just by the left, but by people who are anti the Christian faith and increasingly do not want to give it space in the public square. And that's why people look around and they say, why are we having all this craziness in our country? That's one reason why. I mean, they are trying to suppress certain voices and certain behaviors that they don't like. And that's why things like this story about NPR matter.
And let me leave it with this, as we've encouraged the listener to go out and, you know, potentially consume some of this information that is hostile to what we believe. To be a Berean and take what you're consuming and hold it up to the light of scripture, and you know, be well planted in the truth. This conversation actually was spawned out of an article written by Jarrett Stepman. The headline is, "With NPR's left-wing bias again exposed, its taxpayer subsidies draw renewed scrutiny." And you'll find it on the news outlet at dailysignal.com, which is the news outlet for the Heritage Foundation. And Genevieve, again, sincerely thank you for your time. Always some thought-provoking discussion, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Great being with you, Steve. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Hey, stick around. Brian Cochran with our Friday Financial Update with John Moore Associates is on the way on the other side of the break, right after this on ABQ Connect.